The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days, I'm Marcus Boucher, and welcome back to the final week of 2017/2018 NFL coverage right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast, because it's all over, folks. The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl 52 world champions, my friends, the first time in franchise history. That means Tom Brady is a loser once again, and man, oh man, there's no better way to celebrate a Tom Brady loss than bringing back the one, the only, Alan Flores. He was here last week for the preview podcast, and we're bringing him back for the demise of Tom Brady. Alan Flores, my friends.
It is a great, great, great day today to be back. I swear to God, this is going to be twice as bad as last time, because Brady is going to get a whole ear full of just shit-talking, baby. Let's go! Congratulations, Philadelphia Eagles.
Way to go, Eagles, winning your first Super Bowl in franchise history, while the New England Patriots lose their fifth in franchise history, tying the Denver Broncos in the pit of misery for the most Super Bowl losses ever. We're going to break down this entire crazy game. It had everything. I'm talking about a game that had 74 total points, 1,151 yards, 42 first downs, 9 touchdowns, 5 field goals, 1 punt, 1 strip sack, no tuck rules, and 1 victory for the Philadelphia Eagles. So we're going to break down this whole entire game from the start to the finish, and then go in on the implications of Tom Brady's and Bill Belichick's legacy, what this means for the future of the New England Patriots dynasty. We'll then go ahead and look at NFL awards, the MVPs, the players of the year. We'll get all those awards. Shout out to the Hall of Fame class. Also, we'll discuss that and then wrap it up with our preview for the 2018 NFL free agency. You know, we got it all right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. So let's just go ahead and kick it all off with Super Bowl 52, Eagles, Patriots, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Let's get this preview.
Caught, touchdown! Patriots are bound for Super Bowl 52.
We said every single season, you know what, this could be the end, but it's not.
And they bear witness, like so many, to the greatness of Tom Brady and this Patriots machine. Falls, able to get away and throw. Pass is caught, touchdown! The Eagles are headed for the Super Bowl.
Yes! We demand the respect and we earned it on that scoreboard tonight.
Nick Foles, 2 years removed from contemplating retirement, starting in a Super Bowl.
I'm so proud of you, man.
Eagles are underdogs again.
What you do with somebody that disrespects you? You look them right in their face, let you know I'm here all day. I'm gonna hit you every single snap.
Touchdown, Patriots!
Clutch. I love Tom Brady.
The Patriots continue to write history.
It's them against the world. No one wants New England to win this game.
Touchdown!
Just because they've won so much.
Touchdown!
We're witnessing greatness, and we should respect that.
Let's go get it. Let's go get it.
As he fires, caught, touchdown.
You've been underdogs 5 weeks in a row. When they gonna learn?
The Eagles have an incredible defense, and they're gonna hit Brady. And if you hit Brady, you can win.
We're built for this, man. When the stage gets bigger, we keep getting better.
They ain't gonna be able to stop us.
The disrespect will not be tolerated.
It's the dynasty versus the dogs.
The The Dynasty versus the Dogs, and the underdogs came through once again as the Philadelphia Eagles defeated the New England Patriots 41-33 in Super Bowl 52. The Philadelphia Eagles are now the third team to win every single playoff game as the underdogs, joining those 1980 Raiders and the 2007 Giants, who just so happened to be the team that took out that perfect 18-0 Patriots. And man, oh man, we don't even want to get into this Eli Manning commercial that jinxed the Patriots. We'll get into all that later. Let's just hop straight into these game highlights and kick it off with this first quarter. Both teams started off the day with a 67-yard drive that stalled in the end zone, resulting in a field goal to tie the game 3-3. The Eagles would then come back on their next drive and score in three plays after LeGarrette Blount rips off a 36-yard rush and Nick Foles hits Alshon Jeffrey on a 36-yard touchdown pass. Well, Alshon Jeffrey went up, give a little shout out to the Hall of Famer Randy Moss, and went up and took that ball away and got the first touchdown of the day. There was a missed extra point, so the Eagles are only up 9-3. Brady, you know, he had to respond, though. He connects with Danny Amendola for 50 yards to drive into Eagles territory, but the first quarter ends, and the Patriots start the second quarter with a missed field goal, and that makes it 0-8 all time. What's wrong with Tom Brady and the Patriots? They can never start off hot, and they're 0-8 in Super Bowl history, never scoring in the first quarter, Al.
I have no answer for that, Marcus. I really don't. I mean, like we always talked about, they are always a second half team. I feel like maybe they just, you know, let off the pedal a little bit, see what the opponent wants to do. They probably, you know, let's not forget, Tom Brady and Belichick, they got so many trick plays ahead of them, so they probably just want to fill out the defense, use a little bit of warm-up plays, and then get in deeper into the playbook as the game goes on, depending on the situation that they're in.
Yeah, we know Bill Belichick wants to execute, get his X's and O's lined up, and get everything in his favor. Well, we all know the first quarter is not too favorable to Belichick and Brady, but it was not that big of a deal, because to start the second quarter, Philadelphia actually goes 3-and-out, and it's the only punt of the day. Yes, there was only one punt. I swear to God, this was a Madden game if I ever seen it. There was only one punt, and Brady tried to take advantage of it. He gets involved with Brandon Cooks early, connects for 24 yards, but out of nowhere, Malcolm Jennings drops a bomb, and Brandon Cook gets knocked the fuck out, Alan.
Oh, someone was watching some Brian Dawkins highlight reels before the game, I'll tell you that right now. You know, I don't want to really laugh about an injury like that, but, you know, it's the Patriots, and we don't see hits like that, especially hits like that look like it was head-to-head. It looked like it was a head-to-head, I'm not going to lie, and it looked illegal, but this is football, and they let him play, and it was fucking amazing.
Yeah, you got to keep your head on a swivel. Everybody knows that. There were a lot of people complaining about head-to-head contact. We're looking for a flag, but Brandon Cooks caught that ball, turned around, and was running, so he became a runner, which means he is not an unprotected runner, whatever the hell they want to call these soft rules these days. So the hit was clean. Malcolm Jenkins delivering the boom, and just when Patriots fans thought the drive couldn't get any worse, next thing you know, it's 3rd and 5. Just like Alan mentioned, Belichick reaches into his bag of tricks. They do a reverse. Amendola drops back to pass, and the ball goes right through Tom Brady's hands.
Oh, no.
Alan, I thought this guy was the greatest of all time, and he couldn't even catch a pass, Alan.
You know what's actually funny? When I was at work the other day, we were actually practicing that catch because, you know, it is kind of a hard catch. You got to catch over you. But I just thought it was great. You're wide open. It was in your hands, and you let it slip. Like, I'm sure this isn't the first time you ran this play. I don't know why, Tom Brady, you had to fucking choke like that. But I love it!
Hey, Tom Brady choking any day of the week is welcome here on the Bay's Golden Days. But as you mentioned, it was an over-the-shoulder pass that Tom Brady could not handle. They ended up turning the ball over on fourth down on the next play. And then the Eagles had to bust out a little over-shoulder of their catch as their own as they put together a six-play, 65-yard touchdown drive. Zach Ertz got a big 19-yard catch on third down. And then Alshon Jeffrey said, hey, Tom Brady, hold my beer. Let me show you how you catch an over-shoulder pass. This was a 22 just straight dime dropped by Nick Foles, and it looked like a little Willie Mays plays catching it over the shoulder. It was a thing of beauty, and then LeGarrette Blount comes in and finishes off the drive with a 21-yard rushing touchdown. They did fail the two-point conversion, but man, LeGarrette Blount, Alshon Jeffrey, they came out to play. A couple new additions for this Philadelphia Eagles team to take the lead 15-3. LeGarrette Blount looked like he came out with a purpose and said, hey, New England, you cut me, Now I'm going to run this ball down your motherfucking throat.
I bet you a lot of people in the DraftKings lineup were pretty happy about getting LeGarrette Blount, huh, Marcus? Huh?
You're damn right we are, because LeGarrette Blount won me some money this weekend. Hopefully we won you some money here on the Bay's Golden Days. But let's keep it going now with the Eagles having a 15-3 lead. New England would come back on their next drive and kick a field goal to make the score 15-16. But then Philadelphia was looking to extend the lead. They did not change their game plan at all. They did not start running the ball. They took their shots, and they took their shots all day. And Nick Foles went deep to Alshon Jeffrey. Alshon bobbles it. This was almost a one-handed catch. It could have been almost a touchdown, and we would have had the Eagles up 22-3. But no, the ball is bobbled, and the Patriots are able to grab a hold of it for the first turnover of the day. And of course, Tom Brady is going to take advantage of a turnover. He goes 7 plays, 90 yards on a touchdown drive. He hits Chris Hogan for 43 yards, and then James White finishes up the middle with a 26-yard run for a touchdown. They did miss the extra point, and we got a 15-12 game right before the halftime. But you know the Eagles. Stay aggressive, stay aggressive, stay aggressive. That was the game plan. They came back with their own 7-play, 70-yard touchdown drive set up by Nick Foles, connecting with Corey Clement, the rookie who had an absolutely great day. He hits him on a 55-yard wheel route up the sideline to get down to the 8-yard line. And this was the biggest drive of the day for me, Alan. Right before halftime, it's a 15-12 game. It's close. You get down to fourth and goal. And what comes next? The Philly special, my man. Nick Foles goes to the coach, and he calls the play himself.
Let's run it.
Let me tell you, the Philly special. This was a play that was rumored that Nick Foles actually ran in high school. They put it together. They're trying to be secretive all week during practice. They're running it inside the hotel rooms instead of running it on the practice field because all the media, the members. Nick Foles came over, and he didn't even give Doug Peterson an option to give him play. He said, "We are running the Philly special." Philly, Philly, my dude. Next thing you know, it's a reverse to Trey Burton. Nick Foles, because he lined up on the line of scrimmage, was an eligible wide receiver. He walks out into the flats, is wide open, and it's a touchdown on fourth and goal, a reverse to your quarterback. Man, oh man, if this isn't one of the ballsiest calls I've ever seen in the Super Bowl, I don't know what is.
I gotta tell you, Marcus, you know, we watched this game together at our boy's house, and we all went crazy. I swear, man, I swear this guy was watching some Paul Crew videos as well, longest yard. You know, I seen that he, you know, added a little secrecy, acting like, you know, what are we doing, trying to talk to the lineman. All of a sudden, boom, ball snap, nothing but a pure dime to Foles, and Foles just looks it in, something Tom Brady, the alleged GOAT, could not do. It was just amazing.
Oh, the greatest catching quarterback of all time, Nick Foles. It will never be Tom Brady after that drop in the Super Bowl. But man, oh man, the Eagles taking a 10-point lead going into halftime up 22-12. We'll then go move into the third quarter where Brady and Gronk must have took Mike's super stuff during halftime because, man, oh man, Gronkowski could not be stopped in this second half. You want to talk about the first drive alone? Brady and Gronk connected 4 times for 60 yards and a touchdown. Easy money, 22-19. Next thing you know, Nick Foles has to respond. He converts on multiple third down conversions, and then a 22-yard pass to Corey Clement for a touchdown. Once again, we get some more controversy in this game. In my opinion, I thought this was a catch. It seems like he caught the ball, had 2 feet down. Then the ball might have started to move a little bit before that third foot get down. But hey, he already had his feet down and already caught the ball. Fuck it, I give a touchdown to the Eagles.
That's exactly. I said the same exact thing. When they showed the replay the first time, I was like, look, nothing matters at this point. That ball was in his hands while that foot was down. That foot didn't need to be down, you know, a step before or something. It was down as the ball was in his hands. Then he took another step that was in bounds, and then the step that was out of bounds. Nothing matters anymore after that very first step that he had when he caught the ball.
Hey, and we all know the stories with Patriots and catches and rules and tuck rules and all this bullshit, just pulling rules out of thin air. I don't want to hear any Patriots fans complaining about rules, calls, catches, anything, because, hey, you've got 75-80% of the calls throughout your whole entire life. Tom Brady's got 5 Super Bowls, so go screw yourself. This was a touchdown, in my opinion. And man, oh man, was this a game of touchdowns back and forth, because the score was 29-19, but it didn't slow down there. Brady comes back and connects with Chris Hogan again to make the score 29-26. The Eagles then come back with a field goal, make the score 32-26 to end the third quarter. And this is when Brady and Gronk just kept it going. They connect for their second touchdown of the day. Rob Gronkowski Gronkowski just went out for a little fade route, and that's just easy money for Rob Gronkowski. And the Patriots actually took their first lead of the day, 33-32. Allen, was it at this moment where you thought, not again, not fucking Tom Brady again, taking a lead in the fourth quarter? I could not sit there and stomach it myself.
Well, I had to admit to everybody, I had work later that night, so I did miss the fourth quarter. However, I'm keeping track on the ESPN app, and when I saw the score, 33-32, I didn't know what to think, Mark. I didn't know what to think, and I'm like, am I going to go through this, people? Am I going to have to deal with inviting the Patriots to the sixth ring club? Luckily, no. The Eagles pulled through, baby.
Yes, the Eagles did pull through, especially on their next drive, which I thought was probably next to going for it on fourth and goal right before halftime with the Philly special. This was probably the biggest drive of the game for the Eagles. They're about midfield, still in their own territory. It's fourth and one, about 5.5 minutes left. You can't give the ball back to Brady with the lead. They're already down. We already saw Tom Brady had just marched down the field, slicing through this Eagles defense like a hot knife through butter, like it was absolutely nothing. Tom Brady was on fire. You couldn't give him the ball back. Doug Peterson, trust his boy, Nick Foles. Like I said, this aggressive play calling the whole entire game. And he says, you know what? We're going to go for it, and it pays off with Nick Foles connecting with Zach Ertz for 2 yards. Next thing you know, Nelson Aguilar is getting involved. Nelson Aguilar had 3 catches for 48 yards on that final drive alone. Next thing you know, it's 3rd and 7 at New England's 11-yard line, and Zach Ertz, the Bay Area kid, Monte Vista High School, Stanford University. Oh, he gets another controversial touchdown, because this is where the controversy comes back once again with the Patriots. I already warned you, I don't want to hear you bitching and complaining about these rules, because we saw in the Steelers-Patriots game, the Jesse James situation, where it was a very similar situation to the Zach Ertz touchdown. They called Zach Ertz a touchdown because he caught the ball, took 3 steps, dove into the end zone. We saw with the Steelers and the Patriots, Jesse James caught the ball about the 1-2 yard line and fell into the end zone. Allen, being a Steelers fan, you got to have all the insight on this. What did you think comparing Zach Ertz touchdown catch and the Jesse James touchdown catch that ended up losing to the Patriots for the Steelers?
I gotta tell you, Marcus, I was getting a couple snaps and a couple text messages right when this play happened, all saying, oh, well, look at this catch, you gotta see this catch, it looks like Jesse James catch. My opinion, I don't really see a difference between catches other than it was Zach Ertz having more yardage and becoming more of a runner. Jesse James' case, he had clearly caught it with his knee down after and then crossed the plane. So I didn't even think it was a touchdown in the first place. At least should have been a reception at the 1 yard line. So, but it's pretty more obvious that Zach Ertz caught this ball. He was at the 3 yard line or 5 yard line, whatever, took 2 or 3 steps, then dove in, crossed the plane first, like it should have been. You know, it's a fair call to me. I believe that it was a catch.
Yeah, no doubt about it. In my mind, those extra 3 steps that he took definitely defined him as a runner. We've been talking about it all year long on this podcast. These stupid catch rules, these stupid possession breaking the plane rules where Jesse James doesn't get a touchdown. This is called a touchdown where a quarterback can jump over a pile at the goal line and get the ball swatted out of his hands, but it broke the plane, so it's a touchdown. The NFL said they're going to talk to all their Hall of Famers this offseason. I know Randy Moss and T.O. got in. Hopefully they can explain to Roger Goodell what the fuck a catch is. But at the end of the day, the Eagles fans know what a catch is. Zach Ertz knows what a catch is, because those counted for 6 big points. They did not get the 2-point conversion, but they took a 5-point lead, 38-33. But there's still 2 minutes left on the clock, and it's Tom Brady down 5 points. And stop me if you've ever heard this before. The greatest of all time, the fourth quarter comeback man, Tom Brady, is he gonna do it again? Nope.
No!
That's a big no, my friend, because Tom Brady trying to move down the field. We finally get our first defensive player of the game. Yes, this whole entire game, as I mentioned, was nothing but Madden. And we got the motto the whole year long, defense wins championships. Well, defense on this play won the championship for the Philadelphia Eagles, because Brandon Graham gets in with a strip sack. He was lined up one-on-one over the guard. They moved him in, similar to what the Giants had success doing against the Patriots in that 2007 Super Bowl. They come in, Brandon Graham gets the strip sack, and surprise, surprise, Tom Brady, there's no fucking tuck rule for you. Daddy referee's not coming to save you. Goodell can't give you these bullshit rules. No tuck rule. It's a fumble. Eagles get the ball. ball. Eagles got the lead. Fuck you, Tom Brady. It was a fumble. Welcome back, Coach Gruden. Charles Woodson, I love you. Fuck you, Tom Brady.
I'm getting pumped just by hearing this shit. You don't know how happy I was when I heard about this fumble, y'all. You don't understand, as a Steeler fan, this is big for us. We just got bailed out by the Philadelphia Eagles for another year of having the most rings. And it feels so good. And I told you, pleasure is everything when it comes to the Patriots losing. And that's exactly what I'm feeling. And it is so glorifying, Marcus. You don't even know.
Hey, I know, my friend, because I had to watch the start of this dynasty start with Charles Woodson stripping the ball straight out of Tom Brady's hands. But no, we all know what happened in that cold, cold winter night in New England, and the referees getting paid off. Well, Tom Brady, the referees were not here to save you today, and down goes Brady, down goes Brady. Brandon Graham with the strip sack, Derek Barnett with the recovery. The Eagles would then turn that into a field goal to give them an 8-point lead. But then shit, it's still only a one-possession game. Brady's got the ball, down 8 points, 1 minute left. He converts on a 4th and 10 at his own 9-yard line. I'm thinking, no, I thought we killed this guy. This is like a horror story movie where the villain keeps on coming back from death. I swear to God, you can't get rid of this guy. But it finally ends with Brady and the fail Mary. He's no Aaron Rodgers. He is not throwing it up for good. The game ends 41-33. Gronkowski cannot come down with a touchdown. And the Philadelphia Eagles win their first ever Super Bowl championship.
You know, overall, this game was probably the most surprising game ever, because there was no penalties that were very crucial on any team. And then I look back at our last podcast when I brought up how they both have top five defenses. Well, their defenses had nothing to do with this game. This game was pure entertainment. I loved it. It was not a bad Super Bowl. I didn't even watch the Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh, fuck a halftime show.
I wasn't going to watch that halftime show, but the game itself, like, I couldn't understand it. Foles looked like a fucking marksman.
Foles was coming through left and right. The Super Bowl MVP, Nick Foles. Let me address that right. This man had a 113.2 postseason passer rating. That's the highest in NFL history. All over the regular season MVP, because, yes, the award came out. Tom Brady got the MVP. Now, since the year 2000, NFL MVPs are 0-9 in the Super Bowl. I bring it up last week. I said, oh, whoever leads the league in passing yards is 0-5 in the Super Bowl. I had no idea what the hell that meant in correlation to a stat. And I've thought about it a little bit more. Usually the guy who leads their team in passing yards is doing it because their defense sucks. And that showed in this game that the Patriots defense was absolutely terrible. This was the most points ever for a team to lose the Super Bowl. This is the most points ever put on Bill Belichick in the playoffs. 41 points on Bill Belichick and this defense. Where was the defense? Like Alan said, we mentioned it. Defense is supposed to win championships. Brandon Graham got the memo with the one sack, and the Eagles defense, I guess they didn't know until the last 2 minutes, because here's a stat for you. The Eagles defense allowed 0 points in the final 2 minutes of the game all year. The last 2 minutes of every single game this year, they let up 0 points. That's clutch. That's shutting down Tom Brady at the end of the game, and that is coming through to win a goddamn Super Bowl.
You know, I got to bring up a little something about Tom Brady as well. I'm seeing all over social media how they're bringing up, you know, his stats in the Super Bowl. This is the most passing yards that anyone's thrown in the Super Bowl. Okay, I get it. It's the Super Bowl. What a milestone. Now, what I really don't like and what pisses me off is that Ben Roethlisberger gets ridiculed to losing by the Jaguars, who was once said at that time the best defense in the league. Roethlisberger shredded them, not only over 500 yards, he had 5 TDs, he had 1 interception, okay, we'll give him that, but why does he get ridiculed? Why does Tom Brady get his fucking little cock sucked like the fucking piece of shit that he is? I don't understand it, Marcus.
You know, the thing is, if the Patriots win, Tom Brady's easily the MVP. As you mentioned, he threw for over 500 yards. That's a Super Bowl record. Hell, there was over 1,151 yards in his game. That's just not a Super Bowl record. That's a regular season record. That's an any game in NFL history record. And I don't know if I should give credit to the offense or just talk about how bad this defense was, because honestly, the Patriots defense, where was it to show up? And this is where I got to question Bill Belichick, the coaching decisions. We know about Malcolm Butler, didn't even start this game. That's honestly one of their better players. We saw what he was able to do in the Super Bowl before getting that huge interception against the Seahawks in the fourth quarter. I didn't get that perspective. Bill Belichick in this front office, I think, is a lot to blame for this GM and Bill Belichick, because they made a lot of decisions on this defense. You guys remember Chandler Jones. You guys remember Jamie Collins. These were some great defensive players, and they just got kicked to the curb because no one's bigger than the system in New England. That's the Belichick way. But Alan, I got to ask you, that's obviously got to be a huge mistake, not playing your best corner when you're letting the Eagles put up 41 points, the most you've ever let up in the Super Bowl.
You know, I would at least put him in, you know, try to see if he can, you know, make an adjustment on the defense. It surprises me as much as it surprises you. I thought my fucking team's coaches was terrible. But Belichick over here just, you know, not starting him at all. Like, come on. You know, we got to respect Malcolm Butler on a certain standpoint. That guy's made some good, tough plays, but you're getting 41 points put up on you. Why not try him out? Why not adjust? I would have figured, you know, second half, hey, maybe we could use you as a, you know, in a fucking nickel defense or whatever other type of defense you have. I just don't understand how you just dogged a man like that after all the work he's put in.
Yeah, you had Nick Foles throw for 373 yards. You had a running back out of the backfield, Corey Clement, have 5 catches, 100 yards. Nelson Aguilar, 9 catches, 84 yards. Alshon Jeffrey, 3 catches, 73 yards. Zach Ertz, 7 catches, 67 yards. Torrey Smith, 5 catches, 49 yards. All these guys getting multiple catches. Hell, Nick Foles completed 28 passes. You had Eric Rowe out there on Alshon Jeffrey. I thought that was a terrible coaching decision. I really do think that Doug Peterson outcoached Bill Belichick in this game. And then you got to give credit to the Eagles front office also, because I said on the season preview podcast, I didn't think the Eagles had the playmakers to even win their division. They went out, got Alshon Jeffrey. They went out, got Jay Ajayi. They added Chris Long. They added all these pieces, and it showed, even with a backup quarterback and a backup running back. Hell, this could have been Darren Sproles out there catching passes from Carson Wentz in a Super Bowl, but no, this Eagles team as underdogs came through once again. And is this the final straw? Is this the nail in the coffin for the Patriots dynasty? We see them losing now. We saw all the controversy earlier in the year between Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady. Brady wouldn't let him work out his facilities. He didn't want the Joe Montana, Steve Young story where the young guy came and took his spot, so he kicked him out quick. We see now the Belichick rumors to the New York Giants. They were going to lose both their offense coordinator and their defense coordinators, but no, Josh McDaniels is actually staying now in New England, and some people are actually pointing to Josh McDaniels taking over Bill Belichick's head job. What's going to happen with these Patriots now? Tom Brady's 40 and they just lost. Is this the end of the Patriots dynasty, Alan?
I am not going to say it's the end yet. I will give it at least a couple more years before something happens, but as far as it's ending now, no. I don't think it's going to end now, especially if, you know, like you said, Josh McDaniels turned down the job. Why would he turn down the job? I mean, you got a head coach spot. Is it because you know something that everyone doesn't? Or do you not want to go to the Colts? Do you like being at the Patriots? No one knows but you and Bill Belichick in the front office.
I would have thought he definitely would have wanted to go to the Colts when you get a franchise quarterback like Andrew Luck that you could build around. And I've even mentioned it. I haven't been impressed with the AFC South all year long. I talked about the division last week, how probably the worst division right next to the AFC East. And those were the two contenders that we had in the AFC Championship game. But this is an interesting part. As we mentioned, Brady getting 40 years old. What is Josh McDaniels going to take over once Belichick, if he does leave, you're going to get either a 40-year-old Brady, 45-year-old. What are you going to do next? What's the next step for this team? This is a team that a lot of reports are coming out. The team is divided about the Malcolm Butler benching. There was guys who were liking Instagram posts. Tom Brady likes Malcolm's tweets, whatever the hell that means, social media. But it just comes down to the fact that the Patriots, a team that we know for not crumbling under pressure, for always being the top of the line, for always being that model of success for a franchise, it seemed like they crumbled this game, and it seems like this could be a crack in the foundation for the Patriots dynasty, but they're already favored to win the Super Bowl next year. They're already favored to be the number one team in the AFC. You're going to be the king until you knock off the king, and that's how it's going to be. The Patriots will still be in AFC contention next year.
We also got to understand here, Bill Belichick is an evil genius. This could all be a hoax for all we know, you know? Everyone was all talking about Tom Brady's thumb. Didn't bother him, obviously. That was nothing. I feel like the Patriots just like to play a lot of head games. This could be bullshit for all I know. That would be my bold prediction. This is all bullshit and everything will just go back to normal until Brady is old enough to retire and Belichick doesn't want to do this anymore.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. There's still a dynasty until Belichick and Brady leave. While Belichick and Brady are still there, they're still going to be considered one of the greatest coaching quarterback duo of all time, if not the greatest. And that brings me to my next question. Does this loss affect Tom Brady's GOAT status at all? Because I thought last year we were all on the same page. Once he won his fifth ring, passed up Joe Montana, I thought that he would be considered the greatest of all time, at least quarterback, at least at that position. And then this year he loses, and people are pulling the LeBron versus Michael Jordan arguments, where it's better to be perfect than to make more championships. I've never really got that argument too much myself. Where do you think that this now leaves Tom Brady, now sitting with a 5-3 record in the Super Bowl, compared to if he was 6-2?
Well, my first thing I'm going to say is fuck Tom Brady. I can give two shits on how he feels or how any Patriot fan feels or how any Tom Brady fan feels. But as my opinion about his legacy or his career, no, I'm not going to call him the GOAT. I mean, if you're going to be 5-3 on your record, you know, everyone talks about how Joe Montana was 4-0, you know, but because he passed him up. I mean, I guess that's a hard one for me. In my opinion, just because I fucked Tom Brady, I'm going to say no. But as far as his stats, you know, his stats speak for himself. He's been to 8 Super Bowls. I mean, no other quarterback has honestly done that.
Yeah, and this is where we discussed it last year. I said that I do rank him now above Joe Montana. And this year, it seemed like around the sports media outlets, that wasn't even the conversation comparing Brady and Montana, because that was last year's storyline. This year, everybody was trying to compare Tom Brady to Michael Jordan for the GOAT of all sports, and that's where I got to put the brakes down right there, because if anything, Tom Brady is much more like LeBron James than he will be Michael Jordan, because like I said, with the perfect record, Michael Jordan 6-0 in the finals, never even had to see a game 7 in the finals. Joe Montana 4-0, perfect in the Super Bowl. There's something about that zero sitting in the loss column that just gives you an aura. It gives you this special feeling that people think you're invincible, you can't lose. So for that reason, it's the same arguments and bullet points that LeBron fans go against Michael Jordan. He might be up there, even if he does reach him in total wins. The losses will always haunt LeBron James, but do you really punish a guy for making a championship and losing in the finals? Well, because Michael Jordan did lose in the playoffs a couple times. He got knocked out before he even made the championship. Hell, Joe Montana didn't make the Super Bowl every single year. Do we really got to punish athletes like Tom Brady and LeBron James for making it to the championship but not winning the big game?
No, I don't at all. Look, we hear a lot negativity about LeBron James. So, I mean, if we're going to talk about comparing Tom Brady and LeBron James, well, let's just, you know, think about what everyone says. You're just pretty much saying Tom Brady's a bitch. Tom Brady needs help. Tom Brady's always running the shit. He's a baby. He's blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I'll agree to all that because, again, it's hashtag fuck Tom Brady to me. But, I mean, you can't put it all on the player. The player does not, he has no ownership whatsoever. He's just the player. He's just the best player they got. I mean, maybe he does make all the decisions, but we don't know. But as far as we usually see it, it's always the organization. It's not just one person.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, when you're comparing the two between Brady and Montana and LBJ and Michael Jordan, these are two completely different sports. In basketball, you're one of five guys. You're playing offense and defense. Michael Jordan took over every game he played in, and LeBron James could do the same thing. Tom Brady is playing quarterback. That's it. He don't block. He don't tackle. He don't catch.
Yeah, he can't catch.
Obviously, he can't catch. We know that. But Tom Brady is playing quarterback. Hell, he's won every Super Bowl that his team hasn't let up over 30 points. So, I mean, how much can you really blame the guy? I don't say this is too much of a big hit to his legacy when he just set a record for most yards ever in a Super Bowl. He just put up the greatest stats. He put up one of the highest scoring games in NFL history and was unstoppable at 40 years old. 40 fucking years old Tom Brady is. As much as I fucking hate you, I gotta respect the guy and still get it done. So at the end of the day, I still think he is one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time, quarterback position. Definitely, he's up there with 5 rings. I don't think the record really does care too much and really follows him throughout. Tom Brady, first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. But we got to talk about the real MVP of this game, and that's Nick Foles. Yes, I mentioned it. The Super Bowl MVP. Tom Brady can keep the regular season MVP. Nick Foles coming in, pulling the Doug Williams story, only starting a few games in the regular season, and those games he started wasn't even that great, and then he just turned into an elite quarterback in the playoffs like I've never seen before. The first backup quarterback to win a Super Bowl since, you guessed it, Tom Brady. Nick Foles, what a man, what a man. This guy will go down as a Philadelphia folk legend. This guy will never be forgotten no matter what happens next year, but that's the big question. What's going to happen to Nick Foles? His trade value is at an all-time high right now. You could probably get maybe a first, a second round pick, definitely. But do the Eagles want to keep him? Do they chance with Carson Wentz injuries? Alan, I know you're in favor of keeping him because we've seen what he's done for the Eagles and what a great quarterback he's been. Tell us what's your full opinion on what the Eagles should do with Nick Foles.
After that Super Bowl performance, he's got to go. He's got to get traded. I mean, look, I mean, like I said, I've always said stay on the Eagles because you've been on two other different teams. Nothing was going good for you. What could you say that's bad about this guy? I'm watching this game, and he's a goddamn marksman. I've seen at least five passes that were in littlest windows that I haven't seen in a while. Aguilar was making him look like a fucking all-star as well. Let's not forget, let's not take away anything from his receiving core, but Foles had some balls. Brass balls, everybody. I don't see him staying on the Eagles. You know, fuck the Broncos for you, Marcus, but I see the Broncos kind of going after him. You know, I see some good teams that don't have a quarterback going to him, and it's going to happen. I don't see him and the Eagles whatsoever. If he's on the Eagles, that's shitting on you, Foles, and that you don't deserve that as a Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, I would say definitely the Eagles would love to keep Nick Foles because, honestly, with Nick Foles, you have the best quarterback situation in the league. You've got Carson Wentz, who was the FedEx Air Player of the Year, was in the running for MVP of the Year, looking like a great up-and-coming franchise quarterback. Well, we got to give a shout-out to Carson Wentz because the Eagles would not be in the playoffs, let alone the Super Bowl, if it was not for Carson Wentz. So that man definitely deserves his Super Bowl ring. But you want to talk about having the ultimate insurance plan? You got a Super Bowl MVP as your backup quarterback. The only issue is, does Nick Foles want to get paid? Does Nick Foles want to be playing full time? Because like the intro said, he was 2 years away from retirement, got talked out of it. The man comes back and is a Super Bowl MVP. I think that it's going to be too tempting for that Eagles front office. There's going to be too many teams out there. We already saw all the quarterbacks who are free agents this year. Nick Foles will probably get traded for at least a second round draft pick, and that's what I think will happen. I guess we'll have to wait till free agency to see where he falls. But hey, you mentioned it. Let's go ahead and talk about free agency. We got free agency right around the corner. You thought football was over? No, sir, my friends. We've got free agency. We got the combine. We got the draft. We got it all. So let's go ahead and look at this list of 2018 free agents, and let's kick it off with some of these free agents reading off their own Super Bowl mean tweets.
Terry Bradshaw looks like someone who is going to a Halloween party as Terry Bradshaw.
That's a compliment, my friend.
T.Y. Hilton is a he just me over in fantasy. Him. You know you don't have to draft me, right?
Peyton Manning is the only NFL player that looks like the mascot of the team for which he plays. Hashtag horse face.
Perfect. Fletcher Cox is a d***. You must not know my last name.
Jarvis Landry has a 3-inch penis, confirmed by multiple reports.
Cox. Amari Cooper, more like Amari Pooper. Hashtag, am I right?
You're wrong.
Jason Pierre-Paul hands looks like something my cat out. What the you feeding your cat?
Amendola with his mustache looks like a young Burt Reynolds with the height of Sally Fields. That's up.
Doesn't Dominican Sue ever get tired of being a total
No.
Andrew Crabtree looks like he should be playing bass for Prince in the Revolution.
That guy.
I find it hilarious that Akeem Tlaib tries to act all hard and when the hardest thing he's ever done was shoot himself in the leg. I'm gone.
NFL free agency is right around the corner, and whether you like it or not, you're going to get mean tweets no matter what team you end up on. But let's start off who we ended the conversation with, and that's Nick Foles. There's already been some quarterback news so far. Alex Smith was traded to the Washington Redskins, opens the door for Patrick Mahomes on the Chiefs right there, the rookie first round pick. I think there's going to be a lot of movement, and we might see a little bit more movement in that AFC West division because the Broncos are looking for quarterbacks. Alan mentioned it. Nick Foles could be a possibility there. My number one suitor for the Broncos might be Kirk Cousins. It's between there and the Arizona Cardinals. Either way, I think Kirk Cousins is going to end up out west because we saw what happens with Alex Smith getting traded to the Washington Redskins. Kirk Cousins is looking for a home now. It's a little bit of a head scratcher move for me by the Redskins. They went and tried to upgrade at quarterback with Alex Smith, who's never been an upgrade in his life. He's never won a playoff game. He's completely shrunk in the playoffs his whole entire career. He threw for 4,000 yards for the first time in his career, which is great. He had a great year, but Kirk Cousins has already done that multiple times in his younger career. He's a younger quarterback. He has a better arm. Alex Smith might be a little bit more athletic, but this was a little bit of a head-scratcher move. Do you think Alex Smith is really an upgrade over Kirk Cousins, Al?
No, not at all. I did not get this at all. I was like, wait a minute. You franchised this guy, what, two times? What is that going to do? I mean,
Yeah, I don't get it. They're even talking about franchising him now for the third time and trying to trade him. I don't even know how that's legal. You shouldn't even be able to do that. But I guess the Redskins are trying to find a way. They saw the Eagles win. Now every team in the NFC East has a Super Bowl championship, so the Redskins do not want to be the little brothers looking up in that division, but that is a head-scratching division. We'll be looking at another playoff team. Will they try to address their quarterback situation? That's the Minnesota Vikings, because every quarterback on their roster is a free agent. Yes, Case Keenum, the third-string quarterback, the man that couldn't do what Foles did but got his team to the playoffs. Case Keenum is a free agent. Then we got the guy he took the job from, Sam Bradford. He's a free agent. And then we got the guy that they drafted in the first round, Teddy Bridgewater. What's going to happen in Minnesota? Who's going to be the quarterback for the Vikings next year, Al?
I'm going to say Case Keenum, and I'm going to guarantee it. You got to think about this. You got two other quarterbacks. One of them, he's been injured his whole goddamn career. Teddy Bridgewater just got out of an injury, a non-contact knee injury. You got two guys that are injury-prone 100%. Case Keenum is fully healthy. He proved that he's got nice chemistry with Stephon Diggs, Thielen, and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, Case Keenum, he did everything and more you could ask of a backup. Hell, he came in. Some people were thinking about tossing him into the MVP conversation. Case Keenum came out and balled. I agree with you. I think they keep Case Keenum. I think they also try to re-sign Teddy Bridgewater for a low deal. He's still only 25 years old. If you can get a pretty team-friendly contract, hey, then you have Case Keenum. Even if Teddy Bridgewater takes over as a starting job, you're in a situation where you know Case Keenum can come in and win games. And then if you really need to, there was talk about trading Case Keenum last year, about all the numbers that he put up. I think that could be a possibility also, but I think they stick with Bridgewater and Case Keenum. Sam Bradford, you've been having floppy sleeves your whole career. You've been making millions and millions of dollars for pretty much doing nothing. I don't even want to see you in the NFL next year. A couple more big-name quarterbacks that are free agents. Drew Brees is a free agent, but obviously he should be signing back in New Orleans. He said he's a saint for life. Except for that little stint when he was on the Chargers. But besides that, we got Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy G. Seems like he's the talk of the Bay Area. There has been some reports that the Niners are working towards a contract extension. And you got to think, you got to pay this man, right? He's only played 5 games. But if you ask a Niner fan, it would be the only 5 games they've ever watched of football in their entire life, because Jimmy G is perfection. He's a Jimmy God. He is the future of the San Francisco 49ers. And he's guaranteeing them a Super Bowl run. You got to sign Jimmy G, right?
Maybe you sign him. Like, look, again, like you said, it's 5 games. He's played 5 games. Those 5 games, he actually looked pretty, you know, good. He's looking like a mini Brady is what many like to call him. But, you know, come on, you Niner fans. You guys don't watch a goddamn game all season, and all of a sudden Jimmy Garoppolo comes, and you all of a sudden your little peckers are hard. Let's get real. Come on, you know, let's not pay him full amount of money. How about you save some money, pay him a decent amount of money, keep him for a year, see if he can do a full season like that, and see where it goes.
No, I'm telling you, they're going to overpay this guy, because all these Niner fans came up to me and said, oh, Derek Carr, how could you give him a $100 million 5-year contract? He's only played a couple years. But now the Niners are going to give that same contract to a guy who's only played 5 games. I'm telling you, I don't want to hate on the Niners and Jimmy G too much, because this is the Bay's golden days. We just got to keep it realistic and temper your expectations, but I do think that it is a good sign for the 49ers to finally have a quarterback and to be finally heading in the right directions with Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, great GM, great coach. They got some weapons, but let's go ahead and talk about something that's going to get you a little bit more fired up, Al. That is the number one running back on the market, Le'Veon Bell, and a man who I'm pretty sure you despise. Odell Beckham has been subtweeting him, has been recruiting him, has been telling him to change his Instagram handle from Steelers running back to Le'Veon Bell. He's doing everything he can to get him to New York somehow, some way. But you know you want to keep Le'Veon Bell in the Steel City. Tell me, what's going to happen with Le'Veon? He's threatened retirement. He's threatened to hold out if he gets franchise tag. Are the Steelers going to pay this man?
If Le'Veon Bell leaves, I will fully blame our organization, because if I can tell you one thing that's true about the Steelers organization, we are fucking assholes. We don't do business like that. We don't let the players run them, you know? We've seen it with Troy Polamalu. We've seen what Troy Polamalu's done for us his whole fucking career, and look how we dogged him. We just said, okay, go ahead, you know? Either you go ahead and play for another team or retire. We can't keep you. It's like, dude, what? At least fucking keep him for some, you know, good captain type shit. You know, give these young guns an advice. But with Le'Veon Bell, with what I said in my opinion on Le'Veon Bell, I always said this. I'm sure you heard me say this before. Give me a full season, Le'Veon. Give me a full season where you don't get hurt. You played a full season. You came out top three running back. And I was satisfied. That was good enough for me. You deserve to be paid. I don't blame you. So I pray that the Steelers organization gets their head out of their asses and stop being old school and fucking pay the man what he wants, or we're just going to be searching for another running back. Hopefully James Conner can be hungry enough to come out. I know you got that little sprained knee that you had, but let's pay the man. Come on, let's keep this fucking killer bee status going.
You got to pay the man, but the question is, how much do you pay him? Because Le'Veon Bell says he wants to be paid in that top tier of elite players in this league. And he's not just saying elite running backs, elite wide receivers. He wants to be paid quarterback money also. Hell, he said he would turn down $60 million from the Jets. Well, hey, if the Jets offer more money, he just said $100 million, I guess we could make that work. Are the Steelers going to have to break the bank? Can they afford to? I think they can with Ben Roethlisberger. He's later in his career. We saw Tom Brady take a lot of pay cuts. Antonio Brown already got paid. I think that this should be the number one priority for the Steelers. He wants to get paid like a playmaker. I think you got to pay him, right?
We had to pay him. I mean, I don't understand why we wouldn't. Why would you let go of the running back that we had drafted? Like, no one fucking really thought about this guy. I forgot when he was drafted, but he wasn't drafted high. So, I mean, we came up on a good one. Just like Antonio Brown, we came up on a good draft. Let's pay the man, you know? I don't want to go through this shit. And as far as Le'Veon Bell goes, like, I know you want to get paid. So just the fact that you would leave because you're not getting paid, it just shows that you're not loyal, you know? I can't really respect you fully if you're going to be unloyal like that because you're not getting paid $100 fucking million. But Jesus Christ, you know, you're getting paid fucking, if you get paid at least $40 million, be grateful.
Yeah, right. Take your money. Take being in a successful franchise. Where do you want to go? You really want to go play for the Jets just because they would pay you more money? And then what? Win two games a year, three games a year? Who's their quarterback in New York? Nobody. Hell, maybe Kirk Cousins goes there. Maybe one of the quarterbacks we named go to New York because they need a quarterback too. I just think Le'Veon Bell, he's in the perfect situation with this offense. They got rid of their offensive coordinator now. He'll be even a bigger part next year. I think Le'Veon's got to stay, but let's look at some of these other running backs. Carlos Hyde is also a free agent for the 49ers. I think that should be a key piece in re-signing. There were some fans who were up and down with Carlos, but he is the best running back talent you got on your team. And at this point, you can't just be wasting draft picks. Once you got talent on your team, you got to keep them. There's only 4 or 5 actual legitimate skill players on the 49ers. Reuben Foster. You want to talk about some of their linemen. A couple of these players, DeForest Buckner. Carlos Hyde is one of those top 5 players for the 49ers. So in my opinion, they got to resign him.
I absolutely agree. You know, the Niners, again, like you said, they only got 4 key athletic players. You know, Marcus Goodwin is actually been coming up pretty well. I actually do like him as a receiver, but Carlos Hyde, you got to keep Carlos Hyde. You know, I know you guys have been using Breda, whatever his name is, a lot, but Carlos Hyde, he clutch in the third down backs.
Yeah, I think Carlos Hyde is clutch, especially in this group of free agents. He might actually be one that tests the market, though. It's interesting. We got a couple other running backs, Deion Lewis, Jarrett McKinnon, a couple third down scat backs. If the Raiders are looking to upgrade over Deion Washington and Jalen Richard, I think Jarrett McKinnon might be a great key there. We saw what he was able to do in the playoffs against the Eagles. He has always been a great third down back. You want to talk about the OG third down back of all OGs? That's Darren Sproles. He's a free agent. He said he wants to come back to the Eagles. We mentioned him not being there. Alfred Morris is also a free agent. Rex Burkhead, the Patriots, they were missing more of a run straight down your throat type of guy between the tackles. LeGarrette Blount's even a free agent. He could go back. Do you see any other running back big names that could make an impact in 2018 on another team, Al?
I honestly don't. I'm looking at this list right now, and it just doesn't seem too interesting to me. The only person I really see under Le'Veon Bell is McKinnon. And if, you know, that would actually be a big pickup for the Raiders if that happened. Other than that, maybe Isaiah Crowell. Isaiah Crowell is actually a decent running back. I don't know where he would land.
Yeah, I like Crow a lot. He's stuck with the Browns these last couple of years. He's actually averaged over 5 yards per carry these last couple of years. Him in a new situation, I think, could be a possible playmaker. That's a good call right there, Al. But let's go ahead and move on to some more playmakers, the wide receiver positions. And man, oh man, do we have a couple big-name wide receivers. We got Sammy Watkins, Jarvis Landry, Allen Robinson. The three of them could be a number one wide receiver on their own. And all you 49er fans out there listening, you got to go get one of them. My best guess would be Allen Robinson coming off his ACL injury. I think you can get him for a good contract, and Jimmy Garoppolo needs a number one weapon. I like Allen Robinson to the 49ers. What do you think about these top three wide receivers in a free agency class?
Sammy Watkins is staying on the Rams. I believe that. Jarvis Landry, Jarvis Landry ain't staying on the Dolphins. He gone. I don't see him staying on the Dolphins unless they pay him, and he's a money guy too. Allen Robinson, I don't want to see you go to the Niners. You know, I don't have anything against Jimmy Garoppolo, but I got to tell you, like Marcus mentioned before, I'm kind of a Bay Area hater. I don't like the fans around here. So if Allen Robinson were to go to the Niners and then the Niners start winning, then I got to hear these fucking pathetic pieces of trash again, acting like they've been loyal, talking about faithful, when there's nothing faithful about y'all. So I can't really back up anyone going to the Niners after Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, it would be a huge piece for Jimmy Garoppolo, but then we'd already hear the Allen Robinsons, the best wide receiver since Randy Moss, blah, 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 blah. All these comparisons that Niner fans like to throw out. Hell, keep supporting the team. Just be consistent with it. Go through. We got some guys who finally know Marcus Goodwin's name. Hell, I don't know if they remembered Pierre Garçon still was on this team, but that was before the last five games of the season, so most Niner fans don't know that. But the Niners will definitely be looking to add some pieces. Hell, they could even go after Jimmy Graham, steal him away from the Seahawks. I think that would be a huge factor, pairing up Jimmy G and Jimmy G.
That would be great, actually. You know, again, I don't want to have any players going to the Niners, but since we're talking about Jimmy Graham, Jimmy Graham needs to get the fuck out of Seattle, dude. Jimmy Graham, we seen him play on the Saints, and this guy was constantly catching catches. It's just, this guy was a target machine, and because the Seahawks have no fucking line, Jesus, this guy is barely a tight end. He's just another extra lineman.
Yep, Jimmy Graham, a free agent, and so is Tyler Eifert. Two big-name tight ends. If the 49ers want to go after a big pass-catching option, they got two of them there. But I'm going to hop right back to the wide receivers real quick, because the biggest storyline for the Raiders this offseason is Michael Crabtree more than likely will not be coming back for the Raiders. That means there is going to be a number two spot for the Raiders to fill. And man, oh man, I would wet my pants if it was Jarvis Landry. We already saw Jarvis Landry and Derek Carr connecting over the Pro Bowl this weekend, hanging out. But I think Jarvis Landry is going to get paid way too much money to be a number one wide receiver, so I don't really think that's a realistic option. Let me give you a realistic option. My man, the man, the myth, the legend, Terrell Pryor. Yes, bring him back. Allen knows all about Terrell Pryor.
I was just going to mention him, Marcus. See, I thought you weren't, so I was going to bring it up. Be like, how about your boy?
Hey, TP, come back to the Raiders. I was probably the first guy who said, Terrell Pryor, you're 6'6", run a 4'3", just become a goddamn wide receiver already. And he was like, no, I can't catch a ball. I can't even play wide receiver. Now he's tearing it up the past couple years. We saw what he did on the Browns. He had a few up and down games with the Redskins this last year. He's a free agent. I think that would be a perfect compliment opposite Amari Cooper, a guy who can go up and get the ball, just stretch the field for you. Terrell Pryor, I think that might be a great option. But if we're looking for another possession wide receiver, we got guys like Eric Decker, who I don't think is going to bring in a big contract. We need some good possession guys, because John Gruden is not going to deal with anybody dropping the ball. I think that might be a good fit for the Raiders. Hell, there's even Jordan Matthews is still young. Paul Richardson is still young from the Seahawks. There's a lot of decent wide receivers out there that can come in and make an impact with the squad in 2018.
I got to say, the one guy I would really like to see come to the Steelers, and I didn't even know he was a free agent, Danny Amendola.
Little Amendola.
I hope that he would. That would be a nice little comeback for the Steelers. I would like a little Whitey running around. You know, they got one 5'10 wide receiver going around mossing people, and all of a sudden you got a nice little Whitey doing some drag routes. That'd be pretty nice.
This goddamn Steelers got all these slot wide receivers. They got so many wide receivers. They got to figure out Martavis Bryant coming back, everybody coming back. The Steelers got tons of offensive weapons, but let's go ahead and look at some of these defensive weapons on the defense side of the ball. DeMarcus Lawrence, who was the best pass rusher for the Cowboys this year, he's a free agent. Ezekiel Ansah, best pass rusher from the Lions, he's also a free agent. So we got a couple free agent up front. Sheldon Richardson, a big defensive lineman, he was someone who I would love to see come play with the Raiders. He could be a huge factor. I want to see in the middle, though, the biggest free agent for me in this Raiders team is a guy that was on the Raiders last year, and that's Navarro Bowman. I think that's got to be the number one priority. He's getting up there in age, 29 years old, but we saw what he was able to do last year, lead the team in tackles pretty much every week for the Raiders. I think Navarro Bowman has got to be number one priority for the Raiders this offseason.
I agree. I mean, I was kind of pissed that he went to the Raiders because I was like, fuck, we could kind of use him, you know, especially after we lose in Shazier. But I do agree. I do think that you guys should re-sign him. A lot of people really sleep on Bowman because of his injury, but this, you guys don't understand how much of a beast he really is.
Yeah, Bowman is an absolute beast, and we saw the things that he was able to do to upgrade our defense. We're going to need some more help on the outside on the defensive backfield for the Raiders because we cut David Amerson this past week, so we will be looking for some help from the defensive backfield. A couple corners out there, Tremaine Johnson, Malcolm Butler, they're probably going to get paid pretty fat, though. I like Prince Okumura. I liked him in college. He's still only 28. Someone I could see coming back, TJ Carey. He played above expectations, but we all know his limitations in pass coverage. Vontae Davis. He has Vernon Davis, his brother. He's been on the Colts, been dealing with injuries left and right, but he has always been a solid corner. Vontae Davis is someone that I could see coming and playing an impact for the Raiders next year. And then we'll look at the defensive backfield. We know Carl Joseph is there. We got to see what we got in Obi Melifonwu. I don't think Reggie Nelson comes back, but if we want to upgrade at safety, there's guys like Kenny Vaccaro. There's guys like Eric Reed. There's guys like Tyvon Branch who could come back to the Raiders. He did great playing as an extra linebacker in the box. There's a lot of DBs and a lot of talent. Alan, who are your favorite defensive free agents, and where can you see him ending up in 2018?
You know, just looking at this list, I really don't think I have a favorite one. You know, Terrence Newman, you know, he's old. He shouldn't even be playing anymore. I really don't have any eyes for these guys. You know, just looking back at our corners for the Steelers, I kind of like our squad. You got a young, talented-looking squad. Joe Hayden on one side of the field, you know, he's got some experience. He can teach these guys something.
Yeah, how about this? Because the Steelers, their defense obviously did improve this past couple years with Artie Burns and a couple players. You might need someone to replace Ryan Shazier through the middle. How about your boy Zach Brown?
I was just going to bring that up. You're reading my mind right now, Marcus, because I did want to come back to the linebackers. I noticed Zach Brown. My boy Zach Brown, if you people who don't know Dynasty Football, I have had him for the past 2 or 3 years on my football team, and he is a baller. The guy gets tackles everywhere he goes. He's a tackling machine. He got injured a little bit, but you know what? That's not going to stop me from believing that he would be a beautiful asset to come to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, even if the Steelers wanted to bring in someone with more experience, it's your boy Paul Plzeznie. You got someone like Carlos Dansby who's getting up there in age, but they could use some experience in the middle. I like Zach Brown. He's one of the most athletic linebackers. I think that'd be a perfect fit for the Steelers, but we got to see what happens. We got to see what happens with the free agency. We got to see what happens with the draft. That's still around the corner. The Raiders and the Niners are still waiting for their coin flip to see who's going to have the 9th or 10th overall pick. But you know we're going to give you the update as soon as it happens right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast, because we give you all the breaking news.
Speaking of breaking news, I had to bring up a little side note breaking news. I want to know your intake on one of the most valuable free agencies out there. The one, the only, the Polish man himself, Sebastian Janikowski.
Oh, Sebastian Janikowski, first round draft pick. Check my stats. Oh, Raiders legend, the all-time leader in points for the Oakland Raiders, the Polish cannon, as my man said. I think his time might be coming to the end as a Raider, and I just think that might be just because of injury. We know that he dealt with back injuries this year. He pretty much didn't suit up the whole entire year. Giorgio Tavecchio came in, started the year off great, did miss a couple field goals here and there. I would have loved to have Sebastian Janikowski in there because we've seen him just booting balls left and right, but we've talked about it through the season. It seems like every kicker coming out of college now can kick 50, almost 60 yards. Sebastian Janikowski has changed the game for kickers. If you want to get drafted, you got to be at least 50 yards plus. I would love nothing more than Sebastian Janikowski to come back, retire as a Raider. Hell, I'd want him to come back because, as I said before the season starts, I'm guaranteeing a Super Bowl in Oakland before the Raiders leave to Vegas, and there'd be no greater man to have on that Super Bowl winning team than the man who was in the Super Bowl for the Raiders back in 2002-2003, Sebastian Janikowski, first round draft pick, living legend. That's my man. All respect to Sebastian Janikowski.
Said it all, Marcus. Said it all. I do agree with everything you said. He has put his foot down and fucking started everything that had anything to do with over 50-yard field goals. Like you said, it's been crazy seeing kickers kicking fucking 60-yard field goals, but we all need to think, no one was doing it like that other than Janikowski, and that's why this is one valuable free agency pickup that you would probably want.
I would love to have the man back, no doubt about it. I would love to have any of these free agents. I would love to re-sign Navarro Bowman. Jarvis Landry would absolutely be a dream come true, but I'm just more happy that John fucking Gruden is coming back. And I'll tell you what, man, there was no doubt about it. That was a fumble in the Super Bowl, and the Eagles are the champions. get it all back full circle. John Gruden, it's the first thing he said at his press conference. He walked in and said, it was a fumble. He saw Charles Woodson, said it was a fumble. We're all on the same page. It was a fumble. And if all these talks about the dynasty of the New England Patriots ending, well, it would be bittersweet poetry that it started on a tuck rule and it ended on a no call on the tuck rule, because that rule doesn't even fucking exist anymore. It's complete bullshit. But at the end of the day, the Philadelphia Eagles are your Super Bowl 52 champions. We covered every single game, every quarter, every touchdown, every point, every strip sack, and every tuck rule that did not happen. Alan, what are your final words for the Philadelphia Eagles fans tuned into the Bays Golden Ace?
I tell you what, man. Meek Mill probably set off a little mini concert in prison, man. This guy probably set off a fucking riot in there. Can you imagine everybody going crazy, especially when the Eagles came out to Dreams and Nightmares, man? I tell you what, that's one hell of a time. That's one hell of a time.
I'll tell you what, we had the Eagles versus the Patriots. Tom Brady, considered the GOAT. I'll tell you, go watch the Golden Eagle videos on YouTube of the Eagle picking up the goat and dropping him off the side of the cliff, because it's all over, folks. Down goes Brady.
Oh!
The Eagles are the Super Bowl champions right here on the Bay's Golden Days. Thank you for downloading, subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, whatever the hell you use for podcast platforms these days. Stick with us on social media for all the newest and updates at Bay's Golden Days, Twitter, Instagram, MySpace, Friendster, LinkedIn. We're everywhere. You can try to find us on social media. This is the Bay's Golden Days, covering everything in the Bay Area. We got some Warriors Thunder news last night. We know Alan wants to talk some shit.
Pleasure being back. Pleasure being back again, and I appreciate the shit talking I had to give y'all to Tom Brady. And like Marcus said on a side note, let's shout out to that Oklahoma City Thunder win last night over them Golden State Warriors, the best team in history. Fuck y'all. Take that loss, 125-105. I don't give a shit. And it was a beautiful time here today on Bay's Golden Days. Thank you, Mark.
Bay's Golden Days, baby. We'll be back for an NBA All-Star podcast. We'll break down everything that's happening in the NBA. We got the MLB season right around the corner. The Giants trying to return to the even year greatness, but they got to deal with the Bronx Bombers from the East Coast. We'll break down the Yankees, the Giants, the full season, give you some MMA action. We got DC versus Stipe Miocic coming back. George St. Pierre, will he return? Conor McGregor, is he ever going to get in the fucking cage? We'll find out all right here on the Bay's Golden Days. You know what it is, baby. Sold it.
Steady gold. Pony boy.